Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app, and now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Craig Button, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It's a Maple Leaf game night tonight. The Flames are in town. If you're a Flames fan, this is the go-to ticket. You got to get down there. There's only one time they're going to be here. And the Leafs spanked them a week ago in Calgary. Leafs played really well that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
Really,
that was their
really
best
well.
Game of the trip.
Yeah, I agree. Complete game. And, and you know, Pollock scored on that pinball shot. But they really were strong in that game. The Calgary power play never had any electricity in it.
I think they gave up 20 shots.
Yeah, 20 shots.
They were good.
Which is unheard of for this team.
Yeah, the way they've been getting piled on a little bit. Like, and it's not even the amount of shots. It's the spurts throughout a game. They look really good, look, you know, kind of in control of the game. All of a sudden, there'll be a pocket of about 3 or 4 minutes where they're hemmed in their zone. The goaltender's forced to make 3 or 4 saves, and that's where the shots start to pile up on Freddie. Is his workload kind of really goes up and down throughout a game. It's not steady. That's something that they have to work on, I think, is the consistency of their, not the effort, but just the consistency of their game from top to bottom. And that comes with experience. It comes with players, you know, knowing the system and sticking to it for a full 60 minutes. And I think they'll be fine by the end of the year, but they're working towards it.
Right, and they're banking points, so they don't have to be concerned about falling out of a race or maybe not being in a playoff position. They could have maybe not the best of both worlds. I mean, it would be ideal if you hit the ground running, you play flawlessly all year, but that doesn't happen anywhere. There's no such thing as a perfect season.
No.
Unless you're the 72 Dolphins, and even them, I'm sure they had a couple of games where it was like, eh, that didn't go our way even though we won, or we didn't feel great about our game. But I'm with you. I think it's going to be a carbon copy of a year ago. That's what they're probably hoping in terms of them cleaning up their game the final 15-20 games, getting into the playoffs, feeling good about where they're at.
Yeah.
The difference is this time last year, I don't even know if they were in a playoff spot. I don't think they were. They were probably just kind of hovering around a wild card spot.
Right.
And I think they learned their lesson last year. Being in the wild card is not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the top three in your division. And they're in that position as of today.
And you get, there's so much more that comes with it, because as it faded a little bit down the end, down the stretch for them, they had a really tough schedule. It was 6 games and 9 nights to finish the season last year, and had some adversity. McElhinney makes that left toe save on Crosby against Pittsburgh, and then he ended up with Washington because
they would have played Boston or Ottawa.
I can't remember. It was Boston or Ottawa.
I think it was Ottawa,
and it looked a little bit better.
A little bit better. Washington was the best team in the league.
I know.
It wasn't even remotely close.
But just on so many levels. Because you can't forget, Ottawa did a really good job in the playoffs last year. You can't think of what the team's doing right now. That team was rolling, too. They were a really well-oiled defensive machine. But it just, for the rivalry, for us, we would have been on site and stuff. We didn't end up going down to Washington. I think it would have been a lot better. Plus, where they were as far as a team, the Maple Leafs were kind of here, and then they were kind of sputtering a little bit just because of the schedule. They were tired.
Well, but they were also playing with house money once they got to the playoffs.
Correct.
So them losing to Washington, no one was surprised. If they played Ottawa and they lost, it would have been a very deflating feeling.
Yeah, people would be pissed.
So in a way, they may have dodged a bullet. It would have been a coin flip of a series. They could have absolutely beat Ottawa. In fact, I kind of look back on it and think they might have beat Ottawa. But to your point, Ottawa went all the way to a conference final.
Yeah.
Game 7, I believe it was. Against
Double overtime.
Double OT.
Kunitz scored.
They were rolling. I'm not taking anything away from what Ottawa did.
Right.
But when I was in the building, Game 6, Matthews scored, the place went nuts, and then Washington took over that game. I don't even know if the Leafs had another shot the rest of that game. And even after they quote-unquote choked it away, being up 1-0 with less than 8 minutes to go, you walked out and you're standing, oh, great season, good work. I didn't think they were going to win anyway. If that was Ottawa, I don't know how the feeling would have been. In fact, I know it would have been very deflating.
Yes,
it would have been much more disappointing.
Yeah.
Because you would have psyched yourself into believing they were going to win that series.
Well, and 1-0 with 8 minutes left.
Or up 2-1 if you're using literally the same sequence of events. If you're up 2-1 on Ottawa, it's a bit different than 2-1 on Washington.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, to your point, too, Jamie, about Toronto, the ups and downs within a game, that's the one area I think they really have to put an emphasis on. You look at last Thursday night in Edmonton, and I thought they were complete in Calgary. I thought it was a complete game. Edmonton, that first period, I'm telling you, it looked like it was downhill for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Laurent Brossoit made three saves, or it's 6-1 coming out of that period.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, second period begins, and Edmonton finds a little bit of footing. The last half of the game, Edmonton really had some real good play in that game. So when you're an opponent and you get into the playoffs, and you're playing the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you're seeing, you never think you're out of a game.
Yeah.
Right? You're going, oh, don't worry, that's okay, we'll get back, we're going to get a flurry here, keep staying with it, right?
Yeah.
You want to get into your opponent's minds, we can't fall behind. Oh my God, like, this is not a recipe. They're going to lock it down on us. We are in trouble. And I think that's an area where they got to really, you talk about trying to get the get order into their game. I think that's really, because you want to put it into the mindset of your opponents. Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Yeah.
This is not going to be easy, but when they think, oh, don't worry, who cares? Let's say we got them. We got through that period. We're only down 2-1. We're going to get after these guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, though, that mentality, that permeates the Maple Leaf room when they're on the wrong side of it. They're so cocky with their offensive abilities. I don't know, maybe they're aligned. You know, maybe there's a part of them that's like,
good point.
You know, even if we choke this away, we're going to score another two or three. Mm-hmm. So, they win 5-3 instead of 3-0.
They know they can do it and certainly have the skill and the depth to do it. But my big concern is if those habits don't get out of your game as the league gets tighter after Christmas and then down the stretch, and if you still have some of those habits, you're going to run up against teams that are the top-tier teams where the Leafs are, that have a bunch of skill and scorers that can do the same thing. So if you have those pockets where, we have a 5 or 6 minute stretch in a game where we're maybe a little looser with the puck, a little looser with coverage, and you do give up a couple, you know you can get that back, but you're against maybe teams that have the ability to lock it down too. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Washington. Washington got behind 1-0 in that game 6, and it was like the ice tilted. And Freddie was under siege.
Oh, was he ever.
Like, and it was kind of a cheat. It wasn't cheat. It was a crappy goal.
It was a
goal.
Bad overtime goal.
It wasn't a great goal. Well, that was the...
Both of them weren't great goals.
That's the tying goal. It was Johansson, wasn't it, on the side of the net?
I think he had both, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did.
I think he had the tire and the OT.
Your buddy Marincin had a rough one in overtime in that.
Marty Marincin.
Yeah, he's not a fan.
Your boy with the Toronto Marlies.
Well, he's sure he's playing.
Speaking
well
of the
there.
Marlies, Timothy Liljegren, does he have a good shot at playing for Sweden at the
juniors?
Sure, he
does. Oh, absolutely, he does.
Yeah. You think he'll make the team or what?
Yes, I do think he'll make the team. I think he's. I've seen him once in the American Hockey League this year, and I was telling Mark Hunter, the assistant GM, really impressed with how Timothy has just kind of settled down. Like, I mean, like, you know, and sometimes I don't give enough credence to a player in his draft year trying to do too much. And I think that really does happen. And I think he had the mono and he wasn't playing. And it was almost like when he got playing last year at different points, he wanted to show the scouts and everybody, I'll show you my whole game in one shift.
Yeah.
Everything I can do in one shift. And now you get busy and now you're not as... I really like the way he's settled in. His skating's exceptional. I think he's a really good competitor and really good defensively competing. And I think just by settling down, he's looked really, in the game that I saw in the American Hockey League, I thought he looked real solid. And it was right after he came back from his injury. So I like the way he's progressed. So I definitely think, like, I mean, I'll tell you what, if he doesn't make the team, then that's going to be a really good Swedish blue line.
I would think so, but they're expected to be pretty good anyway.
Oh, they are. I mean, this is a tournament where five teams can win the gold medal.
Right.
I mean, the Finns are going to... I mean, the Finns' first six defensemen are unbelievable. I don't think anybody has a defense as good as the Finns going into this tournament.
Hmm.
So they have two guys. Jari Lehtinen, who's the GM of the Finnish team at the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, they were retiring his number. I saw him down in Dallas. We had a good chat, and he told me that Heskinen, Dallas's first pick, third overall, and Ualavi, Vancouver's pick, fifth overall 2 years ago. He said they've both been two of the very best defensemen in the Finnish Elite League. And by his account will be on the Finnish Olympic team. So they're going to be on the junior team.
So they're going to play the juniors and then go to South Korea like a month later. Pretty
Finland
good
shuts down their league.
Yeah.
Right? So those kids can go. But, you know, you got Heskinen, first-round pick. You got Ualevi, first-round
pick. Both top five picks.
Well, yeah. Okay. You have Valimaki, who's going to be the captain of the Finnish team. He was Calgary's first-round pick. You have Jokke Haju, who's playing in Portland, who was Chicago's first-round draft pick. You have Vaakanainen, who was Boston's first-round pick last year, played the World Junior last year. And then you have Robin Salo, who was drafted by the Islanders in the second round last year and is going to be, I mean, those six guys are all NHL defensemen. All of them.
And they're all going to be in the junior.
Wow.
So is Canada in tough?
No. I mean, they're going to have a good team. They're going to be good. They're not in tough. But all you got to do, go back. 2010, U.S. wins. 2011, Russia wins. 2012, Sweden wins. 2013, the USA wins. 2014, Finland wins. 2015, Canada wins. 16, Finland. 17, USA. Five countries that can win this gold medal. And you know what? It's tight competition. I think Canada will have a really good team. But
no
guarantees. Back to Liljegren, I think that like he should be a good, solid performer for Sweden, in my view.
Well, that'd be great for Leaf fans. I mean, that's the beauty of this tournament. It's a great tournament anyway.
Yeah. Right.
And if you're a Canadian, you're going to support Canada. You're going to look forward to those games. But if you have players within the organization of the team you support, can change the complexion of the tournament, you know, especially high-end guys. You know, and the Leafs have been spoiled in the past. They didn't know they were going to draft Matthews, but Leaf fans were watching that tournament closely, hoping that they were going to tank and win the lottery, and that was the guy they were going to watch.
Right.
Marner was in that tournament. Nylander was in that tournament, I believe. So, you know, a lot of those guys have made it to the NHL.
That was 16.
Yeah.
Didn't
that was a couple years ago.
Nylander got hurt on his first game.
He got knocked out.
First game of the
they sent him from the Marlies, and he got KO'd, and they didn't let him play again.
Yeah. That was the Swiss game.
Mm-hmm.
The Swiss player got him.
So Leafs Flames tonight, Darren Dreger will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll keep teeing that up. Shout out to Roger Goodell, who's already the richest commissioner going, but he signed a 5-year, reportedly $200 million contract today. Five years, around $200 million.
And a private plane, we hope.
Maybe a private plane, maybe health insurance. Like, how expensive is health insurance in the States where you're making $45, $50 million a year and you have to ask for that to be thrown in?
It's just
he couldn't pay that for himself.
It's probably health insurance for him and his family for the
everyone he's ever met in his life.
Exactly.
Anyone that can spell Goodell gets free health care. But I'm dying to hear from Jerry Jones because you know he can't shut up. You know he's going to have an answer on it. His Cowboys, I think, are out of the running in the NFC.
So he's going
to he's rattled anyway. He doesn't like Roger Goodell anyway.
He liked Roger Goodell when they were suspending Brady for 4 games.
Yes, he loved him at that
point. Loved at that point, right? And you remember what Robert Kraft did? He said, we're taking the penalties.
Eventually, he shut up.
Yeah. No, but right off the bat, he said, we'll take the penalties the first round. Tom Brady went and appealed on his own. That was a player thing.
Right.
Robert Kraft accepted the penalties. And I brought up the example of Dan Rooney a couple years ago where he got fined by Goodell. And Dan Rooney came out and said, he's absolutely right. Me as an owner can't do that. Jerry Jones should take a lesson from two of the greatest owners in the NFL, Robert Kraft and Dan Rooney, the Rooney family, we know what they are. That's what Jerry Jones should do. Maybe he should just shut up mind his P's and Q's and stop whining.
I agree with you, but I think what has become evident here is that Jerry Jones doesn't care about the NFL. He cares about the Dallas Cowboys.
That's okay.
That's what he cares about.
But he's not
he's not bigger than the NFL.
He's not a one-team entity.
No, he's not. He tried to be. And there were reports out there that he was working on some stuff in the backgrounds to get other owners to turn on Goodell. And clearly they finally decided, what are we doing here? We're not going to start a mutiny because the players are going to take advantage of this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anytime any ownership or any league shows a crack in the armor, you know the PA sitting there like, we love this.
Yeah.
Like, how can we find a way to work this into our favor? Because it's a constant negotiation. But I think, you know, much like here in Toronto, I think hockey fans here get a bad rap. People outside of the city say, it's not a hockey town, it's a Leaf town. Well, you can use that application to Jerry Jones. He's not a football guy. He's not an NFL guy. He's a Cowboy guy. He doesn't care about anything but the Dallas Cowboys. And it's been so blatantly obvious based on his reaction to this Ezekiel Elliott suspension.
Yep.
Because you're right. He was loving it when Brady was going down. When other guys were going down, he was fully supporting
but if
them.
If it's his.
It's his guy? No, not happening. I want you out. You can't be here.
But can he have that arrogance? Because
of course
he is
can.
The Cowboys owner. It is. It's a brand that's bigger than the league, is it not?
Goodell Tech, well, no. There's no brand bigger than the league, but it is the most valued brand within the league.
Right.
Worldwide, Forbes comes out with their list every year.
I think it's number one in the world.
It's been number one for years. Yeah. Like valued at like $3.8
I think it's over
billion
four,
or $4 billion.
I think it was four this year, right?
$4 billion. Whereas the Yankees on there?
Yep.
Oh yeah, Yankees would be in the top 5 or 10. I haven't seen the list, but
you know, you got Manchester,
United, I was say Real Manchester, Madrid, Barcelona. Like, but the amazing thing about the NFL, and depending on who you talk to, who you ask, and which way they lean, you'll hear some people suggesting again the demise is right around the corner. The NFL is a dying breed. Up until recently, again, I haven't seen this year's list. I think it just came out the past couple of days. All 32 teams are constantly on that list of top like 50 or top 100 most valued franchises worldwide.
Even the Cleveland Browns?
The Browns have been on it. Like, so think about that.
Like,
you're talking about every sports league in the world, and all 32 are in the top 50 or top 100.
Right.
Like, that's how lucrative that league is.
Well, it is lucrative.
Or it has been in the past.
And, you know, every time I hear about the demise of the NFL, I'm always reminded of Yogi Berra's great line about the restaurant, that nobody goes there anymore. It's too busy. You know, it's too crowded, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, give me a break. Dave Naylor told me this yesterday, talking about the NFL and talking about, you know, how he said, I think my number's right around here. He said, they sign players, and then they go to training camp, and every year the NFL collectively cuts approximately 1,100 players.
Yep.
That means 1,100 players are trying out to make teams that don't make it, are cut. Wow. Think about that, 1,100. And I was like, wow. And then you start to do the math, and you go, yeah. So, like, that's not a dying league when you have that many, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's true, too. The idea that, like, at the grassroots level, people aren't playing anymore. No college football program is folded based on what my understanding is. I haven't heard of, you know, Michigan being like, we can't find kids.
Well, you know,
we're not going to have a Wolverine
team. In certain
team.
Communities in the United States, they play 7-on-7 football because they don't have the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to 7-on-7 college football.
No, not anytime soon. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day on Friday. Call with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Lightning January 2nd down at the ACC. Also, for the 4 weeks leading up to the holidays, our winner will also take home one full case of 2017-18 Upper Deck Series 1 Team Triple Collectible Hockey Cards. The theme this week, former Leafs who played in the state of Florida. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Anton Stroman. He was a former Leaf, but not for long. He didn't get much opportunity here. It was Ron Wilson who ran him out of town.
Well, he didn't fit in Calgary either.
That's the truth.
From Calgary to Columbus.
Not the first guy to jump around and not
Rangers.
Stick.
He really found his game with the Rangers.
Yeah, he settled in with
Tortorella
the Rangers.
Kind of found it for him.
And then he's a real good player for Tampa.
He really is, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. We get back into our poll question. I mean, a big shooter within Rodgers was down in New York yesterday and threw out the idea that they might sell the Blue Jays at some point. Nothing imminent. No one knows who would buy the team, what would come with the purchase of the team. Would the Rogers Center be included? Who knows? But we got a poll question up on Twitter asking people, hypothetically, if the Jays were somehow sold overnight, what would you want the new owner to do first? I'm patting myself on the back. This is a good one because the top three options, 34% of the vote, 33% of the vote, 29% of the vote. When you have three options that close, you've
good
kicked a pretty
question.
Good poll
yeah,
question.
You've been all right.
I'll pat myself on the back. So we'll get into that, and Dregs will join us. Leafs Flames tonight. We'll tee it up next. TSN 1050 soccer coverage for the road to the MLS Cup continues this weekend with the MLS playoffs coming to an end. TFC facing off against Seattle in the MLS Cup Final Saturday at 4 p.m. Watch all of the action on TSN. We'll tee that up throughout the week. Raptors coming off a big win last night. First time in team history they held an opponent to no offensive rebounds. No offensive rebounds. And Devin Booker went off for 46 the night before in Philly. He was brutal last night, but kind of scary scene. He got injured, had to get he was carried off the court, like really bad groin injury. But big win for the Raps last night. One of those games that you just kind of knew what was going to happen. Phoenix not very good. They played the night before. Raptors, good team waiting at home. Wasn't the most entertaining game, but predictable finish. And if you're a Raptors fan, you're happy about that. Leafs Flames tonight here in Toronto. The Board of Governor meetings beginning down in Florida. And the Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, down there in Florida. What's happening, Dregs?
Well, you know, Monday was a pretty good day. Nice sunny day here in Florida. Doesn't look like it's going to hold up for the next 2 days, but I'll be trolling in the lobby of whatever it is, the Opalm Hotel or wherever we're at here in West Palm, and should be fine.
Are they going to, and by they, I mean Bettman, Daly, the owners, the Board of Governors, try to pretend like this Seattle story isn't what everyone wants to know about? Or do you expect them to just acknowledge the elephant in the room?
Well, look, I think they have to acknowledge it, given, you know, the news that came out of Seattle City Council earlier this week. And, you know, that, you know, this city is willing to pump in $600+ million to renovate Key Arena. I mean, what are they doing it for? And everybody knows that it's to lure NHL expansion. So I'd be shocked if they didn't at least give credit to what's going on in Seattle. But I think it'll be a nudge this week, to be honest. I don't think there's any chance that they're going to say, well, you know, here's what we're doing. We're endorsing this or doing that. I think it'll be a nudge to, you know, just keep the process moving forward.
So Darren, you and I talked about this on Leafs Lunch a little bit yesterday, and you touched on it. But Tim Leiwicki, who's, you know, the front man for the group, a very prominent group, as you pointed out, with Bruckheimer and what's the other guy?
David Bonderman.
Bonderman. Yeah. Anyway, but Tim Leiwicki, who has been part of the National League Hockey League Board of Governors for years, as they were talking about expansion over time, would have to have all that inside information to understand that there's a real strong appetite. Would that not be a real, you know, for him to be pushing this through and him as a lead guy with all the credibility he has?
I think so, Craig. I mean, when you look at the trio of assets that are coming to the table here, and I mean, those are three front guys, and there's nothing but money there, you know. Leiwicki aside, I'm sure he's wealthy, but, you know, next to David Bonderman, who's a multi-billionaire, maybe doesn't have quite as much. And likewise could be said for Bruckheimer, who I'm sure is, you know, exceptionally wealthy in his own right. I think that they all bring a different dynamic. As I'm going through my travels earlier today, you know, I'm hearing that maybe this group is part of their pitch is developing yet another. So that wouldn't it? You know, from a hockey perspective, maybe baseball, you know, they're trying to get basketball back in Seattle to some degree. Imagine, you know, and so now you have Bruckheimer's, you know, television background, bringing that into the equation. You know, Leiwicki isn't foreign to that. And Bonderman is involved in minority ownership as well. So I think that those three individuals, assuming that they're the main three, and I think that's a fair assumption, they're bringing a whole lot to the NHL table as the first, you know, professional team in there, into Seattle. That is, you know, I mean, that's got to have the owners salivating at the Board of Governors level here. So how much we learn this week is going to be interesting, or how much they're willing to divulge is going to be interesting. But I still believe that Seattle is as close to a slam dunk as you're going to see.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. And I would think the National Hockey League has to be ecstatic with their sales pitch right now in terms of how quickly you can build a winning team just based on what Vegas is doing, like based on their system. If they're walking in, and listen, it seems like everything's in place anyway. You just detailed all of, you know, the behind-the-scenes stuff in Seattle. But, man, if you're going to pay that kind of price, the NHL's probably like, come aboard, man. You can get in the playoffs first year. Look at Vegas. We got the perfect system for you. It's a great, great marketing ploy just based on what Vegas is doing.
Sure it is, Brian, but, you know, look at, again, if we're willing to digest the numbers here, you know, Bill Foley and his people paid, you know, around $500 million to expand to Las Vegas. The numbers we're kicking around here from a media perspective are around $650 million or north. I mean, that is a pretty big hike, isn't it? An expansion fee from 500 to 650 plus. And, you know, and then you have to look at Quebec City and, you know, is Quebec City ever going to be able to afford to get any of the, that market? And even if it's relocation, you still, you know, people need to understand this. So, you know, if you buy an existing franchise that's struggling, well, you paid that club fee, but on top of that, there's a relocation fee. And I can't imagine that Bettman and the owners are going to want to take less or a whole bunch less for a relocation, assuming that Quebec is that target, you know, for less than the numbers that we're already talking about. So, I mean, Vegas is a wonderful sales pitch. And I was a little bit surprised, and a couple of the general managers that I talked to this week, you know, I'm trying to, you know, stir things up a little bit as I want to do. And I'm asking these general managers, like, you know, how much of an appetite are you guys going to have in the next 1, 2, 3 years if there is actual expansion in Seattle to pony up yet another really good player to go through the same expansion draft process? All the guys I talked to said, hey, no problem. You know, I mean, the most you can lose is one player if they, you know, adhere to the same format that they used with Vegas. But I was a bit surprised. I thought there'd be general managers who lost good players who would say, yeah, you know what, we need to stagger this a little bit, but not so much.
So let me just, because of the success of Vegas early, does that give teams an like our groups an impetus to say, hey, we want to be part of this? And likewise, the NHL to say, hey, you know, we got to strike while the irons are hot?
I think all of that, Craig, honestly. You know, but you know, the Seattle push is a little bit unique. I mean, Seattle has always been there, right? Like, yeah, it's always kind of been, you know, we feel like from, again, a media standpoint, Seattle's always been a market that's intrigued the NHL. There's, you know, been rumor of building an arena. Past ownership groups have sniffed around, but it never really seemed to get to the next phase. Jerry Bruckheimer, as an example, has been a guy who's been, you know, kicking tires in NHL ownership for a decade or more. Tim Lywicki, LA, Toronto, go down the list of all of the professional sports organizations that he's been around. And now they've got a guy with the real deep pockets in David Bonderman. So it might be the perfect storm for the NHL and for this group and for Seattle. I mean, I was intrigued to hear from, you know, to listen to Ray Ferraro and our counterparts in Vancouver, Blake Price and Matt Sakaris, who aren't as sold on Seattle as an NHL sports town as I am. I mean, I haven't been there in close to 20 years, so I'll concede to their more recent experience. But for me, Seattle feels like a can't miss, but, you know, those guys aren't so sure, so we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I do think there's a Vegas element to that without knowing the market either. You got to get there before the NBA returns. You know, like the NHL got to Vegas before the NBA got there, before anyone got there, and I think that was imperative. And I would suggest probably a similar circumstance in Seattle.
But you know what, Brian, like the kind of the elephant in the room in all of this, I expect will be in the next 2 days. All right, well, it's great that there's going to be another injection of big cash, millions and millions and millions for each owner. What about Arizona? What the hell is going on there? Like, are they ever going to close on an arena deal? And powerful owners that I've talked to in the last couple of days, maybe they don't, you know, stand up in the room and stamp their feet and say enough is enough, but they want a real hard read this season as to where this situation is at in Arizona. You know, they want an arena deal in place by the end of the season or it's time to move on. And, you know, so again, doing what I do, sniffing around, I wouldn't be surprised if the NHL is trying to partner the NHL and the NBA in Phoenix again, right? I mean, it works in how many other centers, you know, around North America? Why shouldn't it work? Why couldn't it work in Phoenix? You know, spend a pile of money. If the Coyotes are willing, they can find a partnership to develop a new arena complex, do it in partnership with the NBA and make it work that way in Phoenix. So that might be the saving grace for the Coyotes long term.
It worked before. I mean, when they played out of America West, the only problem was the building was the sight lines for the fans as a for hockey wasn't very good. I remember being in net and looking up, and fans were over top of you in that one side. It stunk, but they filled the building. Like, it was, they had a good fan base. That was in downtown Scottsdale.
It was right downtown Phoenix.
Right downtown Phoenix. Like, it was a good setup. So they got to do that.
So if you're willing to invest whatever the partnership is in a new facility, I mean, you know, you can't really build a world-class NHL facility now for less than, what, $500 million, you know, upwards. So spend a portion of that, half, two-thirds, whatever, renovate and make Phoenix, the NBA team happy, and, you know, the NHL guys move forward. So that might be the saving grace for a television market in Arizona that Batman and company seem to want to continue to hold on to.
Enjoy it down there, Dregs. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, guys. Wish you were here, kind of.
Yeah. Thanks, Darren.
Believe me. Yeah. There's Darren Dreger, our Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It. This is a Board of Governors meeting, so the GMs aren't down there. And trades, you know, talking trades or prospective trades throughout the NHL. Buffalo appears to be open for business.
Just to interject real quick, some of the GMs go to the Board of Governors meeting.
Okay, so some tires are being kicked. Yeah. But maybe Arizona, you know. But then beyond that, there's too much of a cluster to really commit to. Like Florida, Ottawa, Edmonton are tied for third last in the league.
Florida, I don't think any of those teams. Luongo for a while.
I saw that.
Like, yeah, it's not
growing,
good.
Right?
I don't know.
I think that's what I saw. I
sent him a text, and when I talk to him, I don't even ask what the injury is. I just asked how he was, and he's not good. That's what he said. Not doing well.
So he's in a bad spot.
Well, they're in a bad spot.
They're not a very good team. Well, and without him, they're in big trouble.
Exactly.
So maybe Florida gets involved in trades. But those two Canadian teams, Edmonton and Ottawa, I cannot picture either team making a deal that would be deemed them selling. Right, them saying we're packing our tent in.
Ottawa just traded for Duchesne. There's no way that they're.
I don't think they can. And you know what? Actually,
why
someone,
not? You better get to reality.
Well, they've got.
I don't think either one of those teams can make the play. Well, I shouldn't say that about Ottawa. I think Ottawa because of their division, but Ottawa, they traded a better player for a lesser player.
Well, there was a guy, Ryan Porth. He's a radio guy down in Nashville. Yeah, and he put together the stats. Now again, this is small sample size.
Right.
But since the Turris for Duchesne deal, and it was a three-team deal, but essentially those were the two big guys. Preds are 10-2-1. Turris has 12 points. Ottawa's 3-7-1. Duchesne has 2.
Yeah.
And that, make no mistake, that was a win-now trade.
Oh,
Duchesne's a free agent at the end of next year. Carlson might leave after next year.
Well, let me ask you this. What round did the Ottawa Senators go to last year?
The third round.
Conference double round. Overtime, right? Since the 2014-15 season, Kyle Turris has outscored Matt Duchesne. That's three seasons plus.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a small sample size. They traded a better player for a lesser player. And I'm not trying to knock Matt Duchesne here. I said it the night of the trade. Kyle Turris is better than Matt Duchesne.
Now, Duchesne alone
now, because he plays in Colorado and he played on the Olympic team, everybody thinks he's great.
That's exactly what it is.
Matt Duchesne is good. He's not great.
Yeah, he's got
but that's exactly
what
it is. They
traded a better player for a lesser player.
Right, but Duchesne was on Canada's team. That's why people
it's an Olympic team. This isn't the Olympics.
I hear you, but I'm just telling you why people would be hyped about him.
And well, you better watch the games and watch the players. They gave up a better player.
Now, they did get an extra year of security if Turris was leaving at the end of the year.
Yeah, you know, sounds like
Duchesne is here next year. And
it sounds like Turris didn't really want to stay there either because
something happened.
I can't speculate on that.
Because the comments by Pierre Dorion after, because there was no 6-year deal on the table at $6 million. Like he said, they never ever discussed a 6-year deal at $6 million, but then he signs it immediately with.
I'll tell you what was delusional. I'll tell you what was completely delusional. When Guy Boucher said, we could have two number one lines without a number one center. Derek Brassard's not a number one center, and Matt Duchesne's not a number one center. And that's reality. The team is not that good. They're playing the league's worst division, in my view, in the Atlantic.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe
they
have a chance. You're just kidding yourself if you're thinking of hanging on until February. Now, I get it. You might have to because of the standings and whatnot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I think it is. Yeah. Well, I think Edmonton's in the same spot.
There's a lot of teams that are just in that area. Like they're in, like they win five games in a row, they're there. They lose five games, they're out. They're
done. But they're only in that division.
Right, only in that division.
Well, Buffalo's done. I think Florida's done. Detroit's not making the playoffs. So those three teams are done as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, you got five teams going for three spots.
Well, okay.
Tampa's in. I think the Leafs are in.
So do I.
Montreal, Boston, Ottawa. Which one's getting in?
Well,
I mean, honestly,
I say Montreal.
Yeah, you've been committed to that the whole time.
I think it's between Montreal and Boston.
Okay.
Well, I did not have Ottawa in the playoffs this year.
I didn't have Ottawa or Montreal in the playoffs.
I had Montreal both. Right at the edge.
I had them both just because I think Craig Anderson is a sneaky elite goalie. Oh, but he hasn't played very well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had a good season. Yeah. He really hasn't. And and Condon, they've had back-to-back pulls. Like, they've both been pulled. They haven't been good enough. And Carlson, he's
putting up points, like points per game.
But he was a bat out of hell. He had 17 in 12 games. Mm-hmm. That's cooled off. I think in his last 8 or 9 games, he's only had a couple points. Oh, yeah. I don't have that stat in front of me. I should have researched.
No, but he obviously is the straw that stirs the drink
and
for the whole team.
And your best players. It comes down to everything.
And now Mark Stone's injured, and now they're going through California.
And their schedule is they've got to win tonight.
Yeah.
Like you talk about must wins.
It gets to that point if you put yourself in that position.
And, you know, Edmonton, Brassois got to, you know, that we haven't really talked about that. Like, this is a backup goalie fighting for his NHL life. And Talbot is a couple weeks away.
Well,
like that's
they got Philly in town tonight. And
yeah,
Philly
they've got to play well.
You know, was it Monday night they beat up on Calgary?
Yeah, they beat up Calgary.
Well, they beat up on Calgary, but Calgary dominated that game.
Yeah,
they made a couple of key mistakes. That should have never been a penalty on Frolik was his own the Flyers' own stick. They scored 3 goals in 71 seconds. The Flyers gave up 43 shots, and I'll tell you what, like, you know what, it was not a very good game for the Flyers at the critical moments. Flyers are not exactly world beaters. This is one that Edmonton's got to take advantage of.
They have to win
tonight. Yeah, you would think.
It's a must win.
Well, the Leafs are in action tonight. Calgary's in town. We'll tee it up. We'll get back to our poll question on a prospective or hypothetical Blue Jay ownership question that's getting a lot of buzz online. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the hockey board tonight. You sold me on Edmonton winning tonight.
Yeah?
I don't think there's a chance Ottawa's winning after our conversation, so I'll take Anaheim. I'll lean towards the Leafs, why not? Throw them a bone. Throw down 20, you can score 80. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine. Get way into the game. So last night, an executive from Rogers was down in New York and was talking about their whole portfolio and the idea of maybe selling the Blue Jays down the road. And they said nothing imminent. But Jays fans are like, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
let's see what that means. And the winter meetings begin this weekend or early next week. And I don't think the Jays are going to be big players, but they're going to make a couple of signings at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds like the baseball world is waiting for Stanton to get dealt and Ohtani to sign somewhere, and once that happens, those dominoes will fall, and then we'll see what happens with Jake Arrieta and other big-name players. And anyway, as for the Blue Jays, I threw this out on Twitter, a poll question. If the Jays were to somehow sell the team overnight, what would you want the new owner to do first? A tie at the top of this vote, 34% sign Donaldson long-term day one. 34% build a new stadium, or at least get the wheels in motion on
a new
stadium.
Can't you do both of those things?
Technically, you could, Craig. But one would have to be the first thing you did. Well, the other would have to be the second.
But I know. But one would be like a longer term, a commitment to build a new
build a new stadium.
And
if whoever buys the team, Rogers could do it. I mean, they were down there saying how much money they're making. Bell makes a ton of money. Whoever owns it, if it's a big corporation, they have enough money to build a new stadium.
But do you want Donaldson signed?
To all your shareholders of Bell, Brian has just told you, don't worry.
Yeah, you're good. I'll take care of you.
But you want Donaldson to sign, but what if it's a ridiculous number that he asks? Like, that's the thing. Like,
well, and I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not anticipating him signing here long term. I think he'll start the season here. If they're not playing well, he'll get traded at some point.
So can I just make a little shift here? So when Erik Karlsson comes out and says, I'm not getting paid one less dollar than I'm worth on the market.
Yeah.
Like, does that market that can Ottawa afford them? And more, the question extended is a little bit, can Ottawa afford to pay them that, knowing right. that maybe they're not a cap team?
That's the, because the cap's going up, so they may be able to fit a lot of all the players in, but it, are they going to go to the cap? That's the question.
Yeah.
They haven't in a long time, if ever, during the cap
but
era.
But if
sure.
the cap's going up to, say, they're saying 80.
Like it could be, yeah.
There's a lot of teams that are doing a happy dance on that one.
Right. Leafs will be fine because, you know, now it's there's a little bit extra money that may not have been projected to maybe fit some of these kids in that mm-hmm. If they get going.
Well, and you look at the Oilers too, right? Like everyone was talking about that McDavid deal and how much it's worth. If yeah. by halfway through it, the cap is at $85 million or whatever, it looks a little bit different.
I can only tell you this. Having McDavid at that dollar is worth it. I don't care what it is. I don't care if the cap goes to $12.5 million. It's, he's worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just come put him out on
have
the ice.
One player. Yeah. One player on the team.
Yeah, that's true.
Leafs Flames tonight. Should be a good game. Flames
so.
A bit desperate. They haven't been playing so well, or even if they have been, haven't been picking up points. And
yep.
Leafs are back home after a pretty successful roadie out west.
It was successful.
Should be a good game tonight.
And that first, the dreaded first game home after a road trip, they've got to find a way to break that.
Well, the roles have reversed here, right? When
yep.
they were in Calgary, the Flames had just come home.
Yep.
So
we got to find a way.
Have a good start tonight. Pros start on time, as they say.
Exactly.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate
Thank
it, buddy.
You, yep.
The O-Dog will be back tomorrow. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.